This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Sharp Money VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in on a Tuesday, August 13th. So important dates here. We are exactly 11 days from week zero in college football, just to give you a timeline, and then 23 days away from Chiefs-Ravens kicking off the NFL season as we say hi. Dustin Sweetelson, the D, downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. So the objective every day here on Sharp Money, if there aren't live bullets, betting takes precedence. So if there aren't live bullets flying, and the first pitch today, Nats, O's, and baseball, 3:35 my time, 6:35 your time on the East Coast. So again, if we don't have something to talk betting-wise, we go to the breaking news. And that's what we're going to do to start today's program. Let's go ahead and throw up what's on tap today, and then we'll let you know exactly what's happening as far as breaking news out of Vikings camp. We are going to be joined in 29 minutes. Good job by the big guy scrambling late with the program, because Tyler Fornes is going to join. He's on the Vikings beat, and I'll tell you why in just a second, but that's important. Brandon Marcello is going to join, 247 Sports. Again, he talks college football. We've got a great college football topic. When you're talking college basketball and football, follow the coaches. We'll tell you why. Mike Randall, fantasy and betting, the GOAT. Nobody's better as a guest than Mike Randall, FTN. RJ Chopp, he's going to talk Dallas Cowboys as the trend arrow is pointing down on America's team. And Josh Ingles is going to join, give you some baseball plays. Of course, plays throughout the day, we give them to you here on Sharp Money. We've got our family plays coming up. Our buddy Zach Pitcher has advanced on a push. Doesn't help him with ROI and Sharp Money Survivor, but certainly he advances. Great to see Zach in the mix. But as we open up today's program, breaking news out of Vikings camp. Vikings first-round pick J.J. McCarthy is expected to undergo knee surgery. That will determine how much time he's going to be sidelined. McCarthy complained about knee soreness over the weekend, underwent an MRI, and he's got a torn meniscus. Now, we've delved and people have tweeted that have had the same injury in pro sport and essentially said we're looking at about a month. Now, the severity of the injury is going to be found out with the MRI, but it most likely looks like a month. I'm going to bring in Dustin to talk timeline and what that entails for the Vikings, and we're going to talk to our guest coming up in about 28 minutes, of course, as I mentioned, Tyler Fornes, who's on that Vikings beat. Big guy, so let's just say he's got the torn meniscus, surgery, clean it up quickly. How's the timeline look for McCarthy and the Vikings?
Yeah, so we'll go 4 weeks exactly from today. That would put us in between week one and week two of the NFL season for the Vikings. So McCarthy not expected to start anyway to begin the season, right? Darnold was locked. It seemed locked into that starting spot. Week one, Minnesota opens at my Giants. Then week two, they will host San Francisco. So somewhere, if it's exactly 4 weeks to the day, right in between those two contests for McCarthy's return, he is now 40-1 for Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, no surprise there as far as Sam Darnold. They, being the Vikings, are your fourth betting favorite in division, so expected to be kind of a rebuild year, that perfect bridge of Darnold kind of bridging the gap with the rookie out of Michigan. So Sam Darnold going to be the starter there. This enforces that, entrenches him as the starter, as J.J. McCarthy with a torn meniscus. We'll go to camp and see what comes of it. Okay, other than that, we do have Hassan Reddick news. Well, not necessarily news. Now, there's a couple of things here with Reddick. Of course, a very good defenseman there with the Jets. Howie Roseman just absolutely ran circles around Joe Douglas and the front office that is the Jets. So last year with the Eagles, Reddick, who's 29 years old, and this is important, pay attention. So he's 29 years old, 11 sacks in 23 with the Eagles in 22, 16 sacks. He's a very good player, but he's 29 and he wants to get paid. So Roseman, who's tremendous, he's a little weaselly, but he's tremendous. You know, the general manager, president there with the Eagles, he said, all right, here's what I'll do, Jets. I'll trade you Reddick, who's disgruntled, 29, and wants to get paid on the last year of his deal, you'll send us over a third rounder. If he plays 67.5% of his sacks and gets 10-plus sacks, which he's going to do if he plays most of the sacks, that turns into a second rounder. That is his valuable. That's a 1B, you know, a first rounder, a second rounder. Second rounders in the NFL, that is a big deal as far as value is concerned. So Roseman flipped Reddick for potentially a second-round draft pick from the Jets, and the Jets had a dude named Bryce Huff last year who had 10 sacks and is 3 years younger at 26. Roseman trades for Huff, signs him to a three-year extension, and flips Reddick, who's disgruntled, into a pick. That's GMing, people. That's how you do it. That's foresight. Now, the Jets continue to bumble and fumble all over themselves because yesterday, through Schefter or whoever he used as a sound piece, Reddick said, I want to trade. Right. And then immediately, and this is what bad organizations do, immediately the Jets start running their dirty laundry out to Twitter, like legitimately where, you know, Elon Musk hangs out and trolls and George Pakanakis. OK, literally Twitter to say we're not trading Hassan Reddick. He should be with his teammates. If you go down the PR checklist of everything you don't do as a sophisticated organization, the Jets continue to go the other way. And specifically the other way to India with the quarterback. But you understand what I'm saying. Your quarterback comes out, requests a trade. You go to Twitter to say, we're not trading him. He should be hanging out with his teammates. First off, Joe, you were the one that went out and grabbed the 29-year-old when you could add the 26-year-old with upside and Huff. You gave up valuable capital because you wanted Reddick. You knew he was going to want to get paid at 29 years old, and now you're fighting with him on Twitter. In a very hypersensitive generation, and 29-year-olds are constantly omnipresent on social media, I don't think it's going to go too well that you're calling them out on X. So that's that. We can tell you this. The Jets, and this was reported by John Ewing over at BetMGM today. So the Jets open plus 280 to win the East. They have dropped as low as plus 180 as your favorites, tied with the Bills at plus 180. We can throw it up there. Competitive division with the Dolphins in the mix at 2-1. So that's pretty tight right there, right? You've got co-favorites at plus 180. You've got the Dolphins, your second betting favorite, at 2-1. And you got Gerard Mayo stumbling all over himself at 25-1 with the Patriots. Tough spot, not pretending like it's not for Mayo, but he hasn't necessarily regaled himself since he's gotten there. So that's the deal with the East. And here's just another tidbit from BetMGM. 81% of the money, 81% of the bets they're taking in money right now on the Jets to win the East. But there are problems that continue to percolate. Big guy.
Yeah, let's keep it simple. Like you just said, let's look at the head coaches in the East. So you have, in one situation, Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. Sure, there's other pieces at play that are moving off the Buffalo Bills, and Sean McDermott may have his shortcomings in the postseason, but certainly you can rely on them day in and day out in the regular season. Then we go to another team in the East. We have Miami, McDaniel and Tua. Kind of a perfect marriage because McDaniel is the puppeteer while Tua is the puppet, and it's the perfect puppet for the puppeteer there, if you catch my drift. He is the perfect quarterback for this system with McDaniel, with his touch, with his accuracy, and he does whatever he says. That then brings us to the New York Jets in this division. We have a head coach in Robert Saleh, who you and I actually, despite all the turmoil a year ago, he actually upped his Q rating for both of us. We were very high in the way he handled the drama. However, all the drama continues to happen with these Jets over and over again. And a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, who's getting older, doesn't seem that interested in football as he used to be, thinks he's way more interesting than he actually is, and is constantly in the media for news outside of, you know, actual football, which is the thing that he's supposed to do best. So I want to be bullish on the New York Jets. It's a long way to get here. But I think 20-1, the upside is incredible, because if this was a video game, the 2024 NFL season, and you could turn off injuries and you can turn off off-season distractions, I think you can make a strong case that the New York Jets have the highest upside of any team in the entire league. But that's not the world we live in. That's not reality. Players go down. This team went through it a year ago. And despite them actually addressing all of their major needs this past offseason, that does not simply mean they will be a better football team in 2024. And that's my takeaway from the Jets.
Yeah, the Saleh thing, I'll just start there. I don't disagree with you. When he speaks, I think he's a pretty competent dude.
Yeah.
I think the way he handled, remember, Saleh called out the quarterback. He got reprimanded by Woody Johnson and Joe Douglas. He came back the next day and then started to backtrack. He has no control. These organizations are run by the front office. You mentioned puppeteer. Well, that's essentially what Saleh is. He's being puppeteered by the front office. And sometimes he wants to be the hard ass. He does have the temperament to be the hard ass. But when you're dealing with Aaron Rodgers that has so much FU equity, it's an impossibility. So, for example, when I was doing some notes research, Jets research last week. Remember, Saleh said he didn't know if Aaron Rodgers was going to play in the first two preseason games and likely going to sit all three. And then the next day, Rodgers spoke to the media and he said, "News to me." That is a power play by a guy that is constantly passively looking for power. Aaron Rodgers could be handed the organization and he'd still be looking over one shoulder. So Rodgers probably knows. Rodgers may have said he's not interested in playing in the preseason, but he was usurping Saleh by saying, "Well, news to me." So that's an issue. When he went to India or he went to Tibet or he went to Dabuli, wherever he went, and he pretended like, "No, it's all good." No, when you have that equity, I don't think Bryce Young is running off to Cancun, coming back to the Cavallis or whatever the hell his new coach is, and the ownership there with Carolina and saying, yeah, just deal with it. And if I'm sitting during the preseason, I guess that's news to me. No, it's equity. And that's why I think we can come back and talk about it. Now, we're showing 10.5 on the season win total on this graphic. I've got 9.5 at a book at -150 juiced. So maybe the pure number is 10.5 on the season win total. We'll dig up the true one today as we sit here on the 13th. I think this Jets team has a one-year window, and we'll discuss why coming back. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. News today, breaking meniscus for J.J. McCarthy, the rookie there with Minnesota. We're going to go straight to Vikings camp coming up in 14 minutes. We do have more breaking news as we welcome you back on the program, Dustin Sweetelson.
And news coming out from Jordan Schultz. Chiefs wide receiver Hollywood Brown expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a sternoclavicular injury he suffered per multiple sources. Opening night is 3 weeks from Thursday night, so that would mean he is likely out for week one against the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, Hollywood Brown looks like he's going to miss week one. Do what you will with your fantasy and betting needs there. So we're talking Hassan Reddick, and Reddick is going to be should be a very important piece to this Jets defense, which could be, along with Pittsburgh and a couple of others, you know, vying for the best defense. They're great at all three levels. The Jets could be special on defense. Reddick would certainly help them. Again, 11 sacks last year, 16 sacks last year. Two years ago, they lose 10 sacks from Bryce Huff, who joins the Eagles. The Eagles had a fantastic offseason. Roseman continues to clean house as far as the offseason. Now, there's a couple of things. One, we checked in on the win total for the Jets. The Jets are your East betting favorites, along with the Bills, close behind at 2-1. So the Bills and the Jets are both +180. The Miami Dolphins are 2-1. And then you've got 25-1 on the Patriots. Over on the win total, 9.5. You got to lay $1.50 juice on the Jets. And over at DraftKings, if you want to go over 10.5 wins on the Jets, it's +115. There's a reason, and this is what I'll say about the Jets, and I think it's a one-year window. First off, Aaron Rodgers is coming off an Achilles, and he's 40 and a half. All right? He's not just about to turn 40. He's 40 in 6 months. So this is a 40-and-a-half-year-old, exquisite, one of the great players we've ever seen, in great shape, ayahuasca, the trip and all of that. That's fine. Okay, but they've got a one-year window, and I'll tell you why. First off, there's a reason every time a team wins a Super Bowl, the first thing they discuss is great chemistry. What do they say? Well, that's the best locker room I've ever been a part of. And that's important because this is 18 weeks. Now, take it from somebody. I just spent 10 days with my family. Last time I checked, the week is 7 days, so 10 days, you know, a little over a week. And I love my family. You get me, you have a beer with me, we talk about my family. Nobody's going to go on and on about how much they... However, if I were to go home and spend 18 weeks with my family, things are going to start to bubble. Dysfunction is going to start to show itself. And that's what I'm talking about here with the Jets. If you have Saleh talking about, well, I don't know why he's in India, and then turns around the next day, excused absence, and then turns around the next day and says he's not going to play the first 2 weeks in the pre and probably all, and then Rodgers comes out usurping and says, that's news to me. Well, that's a power play. So now all of a sudden you have half the locker room with Rodgers, half of it with Saleh. Joe Douglas is having circles run around him by Howie Roseman. Reddick is saying, I want to trade. Douglas and the Jets organization is releasing on Twitter, we're not trading them. The locker room sees that you're calling out players on Twitter. All of a sudden we haven't started the season and we've got 19 weeks to go. That's dysfunction, people. This is a big group of dudes coming from different families trying to merge. Synergy is important. If we didn't have such spectacular synergy at VSiN, you think we could go 3.0? I don't think so. Now, one of the reasons the Jets, now they've got a backup this year, and one of the reasons the Jets, I like them on the season win total of 9.5, big guy, is because they've got the fourth easiest strength of schedule. But there are a lot, and I like to use this term, the house of cards. There are a lot of pieces that feel house of cardy when it comes to the Jets. First off, the offensive line was a disaster last year. They took an offensive lineman in the draft, but they brought in Simpson, they brought in Tyron Smith, they brought in Morgan Moses, specifically Smith and Moses, vets that have been oft injured. So a lot has to go right on that offensive front that's protecting a 40-and-a-half-year-old quarterback. Secondly, they've got an all-world wide receiver in Garrett Wilson, but they brought in Mike Williams. Why didn't the Chargers want Mike Williams? Not just because of cap hell. Why, Dustin Sweetelson? Injuries. Great talent, always injured. House of cards. I already mentioned Aaron Rodgers. My man ran out there with these colors don't bleed last year, and 2 seconds later, popped an Achilles. Hello, that's what happens when you're 39.5, and now he's 40.5. However, Tyrod Taylor is a competent backup. They haven't had quarterback play for many years, so I do believe a team that won, what, 7 games last year, super competitive, mostly because of the defense, I still think they could get to 10 wins, even if it is Tyrod Taylor. He's not Zach Wilson. He's not Tim Boyle. I think Tim Boyle's coaching a team somewhere. He's not playing quarterback. So that's one thing. Now, they're a very talented team. Offense, Rodgers, Wilson, Breece Hall, tremendous. And we know how great Garrett Wilson is. Garrett Wilson put up numbers, 95 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and three touchdowns with Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and, you know, that crew. The defense is loaded, Dustin. And this is what's important about the Jets. Secondary, linebacker, defensive line, amongst the league's best. And you just start with, when you go level to level, you go Quinnen Williams, you go C.J. Mosley, you go Sauce Gardner. Gardner's a top two guy. And so defensively, it's like, it's almost this gangrene situation defensively is almost, it's hard to poke holes. Again, fourth easiest schedule, a great defense. Buffalo, to me, trending downward. New England's terrible. Miami, probably, I think this is year three with McDaniel. That offense isn't going to get worse. We know that. So I think Miami starts, I think it's going to be, for me, it's the Jets and Miami, and the numbers are very close. But Miami and Buffalo, not so much Buffalo. Miami, not the house of cards that the Jets are. And that's, and again, a lot of this comes down to injury luck, comes down to fumble luck. But the injuries, when I talk about the offensive front, Tyron Smith, that's a legend in Dallas. They realized they had to move on. Morgan Moses, I believe he was with Washington the past couple of years, injured all, and he's fine when he's playing at right tackle anyway. So there are a lot of questions.
Yeah, older too, by the way. So we're talking about Morgan Moses.
That's why I said 1 year window.
Yeah, yeah. And they drafted the kid Fashanu out of Penn State, but you can't rely on a left tackle coming in rookie here with the expectations that they have this year. The defense is crazy, though. They get Chuck Clark back, who's not a sexy name by any means, but they signed him a year ago and lost him in camp. That helps that back end as well. If Reddick plays, right, if Reddick suits up for them, this defense gets taken up a notch. Like, it's a different level of pass rush, a different level of guys. They actually have depth on the defensive side of the football. And on top of Tyrod Taylor, there was another move they made at quarterback that I thought was really interesting. Obviously, like, we're not the biggest UFL guys. I actually didn't know if it was the UFL or XFL anymore. But Adrian Martinez, don't laugh. Adrian Martinez, former Nebraska legend, won MVP in that league and was awesome. He's also been brought in to be an extra depth piece at quarterback in case Rodgers goes down. Now, obviously, your expectations change if you end up with Adrian Martinez starting meaningful football games, but there is at least more help, more talent, more ability there at that position, because when you look at everything else for this one-year window you're talking about, it is the only piece that you really worry about is Rodgers staying healthy. The rest of it, yes. They have some backup plans, some help is on the way, someone could develop and go off and contribute, but it really comes down to how much Rodgers is going to have to throw the football.
I must be co-hosting with Fireman Ed, because if we're going deep enough into the bag to think Adrian Martinez is going to be the answer at quarterback for the Jets, then we're going deep. I think he's still at Nebraska, by the way. Nobody played at a school longer than Adrian Martinez. And I believe, did he transfer to
Kansas State, I believe. Yeah. I believe Kansas State.
12 years of eligibility. Look, again, because of the defense, because of the schedule, and the schedule is soft.
Yeah.
You can pour through it. It's like, if we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's use a team that defensively, I believe, run relatively parallel. Two defenses that are going to carry a team, the Jets and the Steelers. You compare the Steelers schedule to this Jets schedule, it's not even on the same planet.
No. This is what happens when you have a loaded team expected to contend for a Super Bowl last year. You lose your quarterback. The season goes up in flames. You benefit from an easier schedule the following year because we have to maintain balance. We have to maintain some order. We can't just make it easy for the best teams every year. So somehow the Jets are being looked at as a bad team at 7-10 when really had Aaron Rodgers stayed healthy, they would have been a Super Bowl contender. It's a wild position for a team this talented to be in. They now have to capitalize because, as you started this whole thing with, the New York Jets, there's always something. That should be the team motto. The New York Jets, it could be Herm yelling, you play to win the game. It could be Vinny Testaverde being 137 years old having to start. It could be the butt fumble with Mark Sanchez. Something always happens with this organization.
And it only takes one. Every time I get back home, we pour cocktails, everybody's in a good mood. Then Uncle Charlie, I shouldn't use his name. Then this one uncle comes over and it just gets weird. And then he starts spidering into everybody else. And the next thing you know, I'm sleeping in the car. That's never happened. Maybe 2 years ago, but I wouldn't do it again. I'm 46. But that's Rodgers. We're going inside Vikings camp and JJ McCarthy next. Okay, so the news, Vikings rookie first-round pick J.J. McCarthy is expected to undergo knee surgery that will determine how much time he's going to be sidelined. McCarthy complained about knee soreness over the weekend and underwent an MRI on Monday night. So that's the big news out of Vikings camp. On short notice, great job. Tyler Fornes is going to join us now straight from Vikings camp. A to Z Sports Viking beat writer. You can find Tyler on Twitter at TheRealForno. His YouTube channel, which is tremendous, Vikings First and Skull. Tyler, thank you on short notice. Appreciate it. I just read the Schefter report. Can you add anything as far as J.J. McCarthy?
So, not really. One of the biggest things about this injury is the ambiguity on it, and that's something that you see a lot of times with a meniscus injury. It's hard to fully tell 100% of the time how much damage there is. It could be minimal. It could be severe. Sometimes if it's a bucket handle tear, basically just means the thing's in half and you need to repair it. And there's really nothing else you can do. Other injuries to it could just be like almost like a hangnail where it's just a flap of the cartilage and then you can either sew it back up or trim it. But trimming it can have some unfortunate long-term effects where you can start to develop arthritis. And being that he's a 21-year-old, both as an athlete and as a human, you want to try and do what's best for him. So they're going to go in there. They're going to kind of see what the damage is. If it's minimal enough, where it's not going to have any adverse effects based on projection. They'll trim it. It'll just be 4 to 6 weeks. Otherwise, you're looking at months, and he's probably out for the season, which would be a big damper, but he wasn't going to start week one anyways. So you can really keep that development plan going. He just won't get reps in practice.
Tyler, have you had meniscus surgery? Because that's about as much as I've ever known and heard about meniscus.
Well, actually, we just recorded about 2 hours ago. My producer tore his meniscus in his 40s, and he kind of laid out a lot of the different elements to the surgery. Plus, Adrian Peterson had the full bucket handle in 2016 when he got injured in week two in the U.S. Bank Stadium debut against the Packers on Sunday Night Football. And then Irv Smith Jr. had it against the Chiefs in preseason a couple years back. So we're pretty well versed in meniscus injuries. We're pretty well versed in quarterback knee injuries in Minnesota.
So Sam Darnold was going to be the starter week one. Let's talk about expectations, the meshing with Darnold and O'Connell's system.
I think the meshing is perfect. And if you watch the preseason game, he only got 12 snaps, completed 4 of 8 passing for 54 yards. But 2 of those passes were dropped by Ty Chandler. So you can honestly say an adjusted completion percentage of 75, which is fantastic. He had one throw that was circulating Twitter with all the film analysts where he just ripped a dig route right over a linebacker. And he looked like he was the third overall pick, not the third overall pick in 2018, but possibly this year. And he's never had a great infrastructure as a starting quarterback. He's never had a good offensive line, let alone the Vikings having 2 great tackles. He's got the best receiver in football, Justin Jefferson, an emerging one in Addison. TJ Hawkins is coming back. If it's going to happen and you're going to see a Geno Smith type year, a Baker Mayfield 2023, it could happen with Sam Darnold. Will it? That's up to him. It's up to him to be able to piece all these things together and be able to take this to the next level. But everything's there. The talent was always evident with Darnold, but I've always thought he got drafted off of that Rose Bowl game against Penn State where he just went absolutely lights out. I think he led them on either a 21 or 28 point comeback in that game. And he just never really been able to piece it all together. This is the shot. If you're able to do it, like the Vikings could win 11 games. I don't think anybody'd be surprised. I also don't think anybody'd be surprised if they won 6 and weren't even a factor in the playoff race. It's up to Darnold to put it all together.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to interrupt you. The market says 6.5, so that's interesting to say that. I want to talk about expectations. Tyler Fornes on short notice joining us, and we appreciate it, of course. Vikings First and Skull, the YouTube channel, J.J. McCarthy. Now, you nailed it as far as the Rose Bowl game. Since he got to the pros, Darnold's issue has been literally just dropping, fumbling the football, obviously interceptions, but he's always been very talented. He's a very mobile guy. But let me ask you, in a perfect world, because you do use a first rounder on J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, the expectations for Darnold, if everything were to go perfectly, would he start the full year? Did J.J. McCarthy, would you want him to sit? What are the expectations?
I don't think the Vikings themselves have any expectations in a perfect world. The idea was that they had benchmarks. They wanted McCarthy to hit all these benchmarks and be ready to go. If he was ready to go, I think they would have played him at the right time. But then if Darnold just all of a sudden balls out, you have a 2004 San Diego Chargers conundrum in front of you where they drafted Eli Manning, traded him for Phillip Rivers. But then Drew Brees goes out in his final year of his deal, has a Pro Bowl year. And having 2 quarterbacks that you want to start is a pretty good problem to have. They kept Brees for 1 more year and the torn labrum ended up taking him out. And then he moved on to New Orleans, but the Vikings want to do right by McCarthy. They want to do the right things and they want to make sure that he's 100% ready. I think that it wouldn't have mattered the Darnold expectations, what he was doing. If McCarthy was ready, I think they were going to put him in. But if Darnold just all of a sudden leads them to just an insane year, do you pull that kind of quarterback? Do you pull the guy who's just going lights out? I honestly don't know what Kevin O'Connell would do in that situation, but it would be a nice problem to have 2 quarterbacks that you really wanted to play.
Absolutely. Now, the Darnold piece aside, how has McCarthy looked? OTAs, camp? What's been the early returns as far as the Michigan rookie?
It's been a lot of growth, and you can see a substantial slope upward. And I don't think he's ready to start, but I also think if you started him in that hypothetical, that he wouldn't be an abject disaster either. I think the mental fortitude he showed on Saturday being able to go out, throw that interception, and then come back and be borderline lights out, shows the kind of player he is, the kind of person he is, and how you can expect him to handle that kind of adversity in a regular season game. But there are some mechanical inefficiencies. He's got to continue to work on that. One of the things with trying to fix the mechanics that they've been doing takes around 10,000 reps to make it muscle memory. He's not quite there yet. The mechanics are better than when he got here, but they're not perfect. He had the throw on a split zone where he just pistol whipped it with a gallon of mustard on it, and he just needed to lob it in there. Rookie quarterbacks have that issue all the time where they think they just can bullet it in, but the nuance and touch is what separates the good from the great quarterbacks, and he's learning it, but he's not quite all the way there, which is why I had a little bit of hesitation to want to put him in right away. But there was a lot of positive growth and development, and this fan base is incredibly excited. They haven't been excited about a quarterback since Teddy Bridgewater 2016. And we still talk about the preseason game where he didn't look like a game manager. He looked like he was ready to take the world by storm. And then just days later, he almost dies on the practice field with his leg dislocated.
Yeah, that was horrible. Tyler, as you know, we're a betting network. 6.5's the number. Now it's heavily juiced, -160 to the over. Do you feel like even in a brutal division, 6.5 is a disrespectful number for this year's unit?
I think it's slightly disrespectful, but I also don't think it's too far off. If this number was 7, I probably wouldn't touch it because I think the Vikings are going to win 7 games. This team has too much talent to not be competitive. And if you just look at the games last year when Kirk Cousins didn't play, they played well. The only game that they weren't competitive in was that Green Bay game. And for some reason, when the Vikings play Green Bay around Christmas time, they lay eggs. They did so in, I think it was 2019. They did so in 2022. They did so in 2023. It's just a brutal spot for them. I don't know if there's any kind of link, but it just ends up being bad. They were really good against the Broncos. They barely lost that game. They were really good against the Lions in the first game. They were this close to being able to finish that one out. And they were competitive in the final one. They had the Bengals down 21-3 going into the fourth quarter. Like, this is a team that can be competitive no matter who's playing quarterback. So I think it's a little bit disrespectful, but it all depends on how Flores can adapt his defensive scheme, because they allowed 30 points a game over the final four because people had started to figure them out. I think 7-8 wins is the sweet spot, and juicing the over at -160 is a little worrisome as a bettor, but I'd feel pretty comfortable about getting the return on your investment.
Tyler knows betting. We like to see that. A minute left. Justin Jefferson, he's paid, should be happy. Mm-hmm. Has there been good synergy with both Darnold and McCarthy?
We haven't really seen him with McCarthy. I think there's maybe been one or two throws from practice. He's developing chemistry with Darnold, and that's what's got me excited. Darnold is completely learning this system. He's learning this team. He's learning this organization, this town. But you can see a palpable development with how he's connecting with Justin Jefferson. And Jefferson's the kind of receiver, I don't think his production's going to slip at all with a rookie quarterback or Darnold. His splits last year with and without Kirk Cousins were almost the same, except for touchdowns. And we know touchdowns are inherently random. So I think Jefferson's going to ball no matter who's throwing the ball.
Okay, Tyler's got Minnesota. Nobody follows the team closer than Tyler Fornes. He's got him at 7 wins, not overly disrespectful at 6.5. And we will wait and see to see how much time the rookie J.J. McCarthy is going to miss. Vikings First and Skull YouTube channel. Follow Tyler on Twitter at TheRealForno. Thank you, Tyler. Appreciate the time.
Hey, my pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Okay, great job and great hair as well. We're back. 3 up, 3 down. Betting Network, we welcome you back on a Tuesday, August 13th. I mentioned at the onset of the show, just 11 days, week 0, 4 games, college football. Ravens Chiefs 23 days away, so we've got stuff to look forward to. Now, as far as real time, what's happening in sports right now, we don't have live bullets. We've got First Pitch first game, Major League Baseball, coming up 3:35 my time, West Coast. So just about 3 hours from now, Nats O's. So we can get to that coming up. We've got Brandon Marcello talking college football in about 14 minutes. But Dustin, I we should give a shout out. So we had from FanDuel, we had Jim Sanez on the program yesterday. And you told me we've had him before. For me, it was a debut. You know, the guests kind of sometimes merge into one another. And I was like, that guy's tremendous. We had him two segments. He was great, very analytically driven. And he started laying out why he liked the White Sox yesterday. Now, again, the White Sox, potentially the worst team of all time in the AL. And you're not going to find many spots where you're going to bet the White Sox v. Heel and the Yankees. But he said, hear me out. And that's what the kids do. Hear me out. And then they tell you why something that you wouldn't think is something, they turn it into something. Well, he said, well, hear me out here. I know the White Sox are all-time bad. And I know they're catching 285 at home to the Yankees. The Yankees are a $3.60 favorite. But I'm going to go ahead and take the White Sox because the number is ridiculous based on my model. Now, this is Sanez, you know, FanDuel talking. He said, based on my model, you have a plus 285. I don't have it scored that way. Let's go ahead and lay it with the White Sox. Well, he did, and it was rocking chair because the White Sox put a beatdown on the Yankees 12-2. Maybe the biggest surprise of the season, just the way it played out. So a 12-2 win there for the White Sox, a plus 285 cash. So I hope you were listening to Sharp Money yesterday because that's a big winner. And then remember, if you miss these picks, you can always go become a VSiN Pro, and the best bets are lined up every day over at VSiN.com. Oh, by the way, he then doubled down and gave us Snell up there with the Giants, Dustin, at plus 142 on 9-plus strikeouts. That cashes. So he cashed on plus 285 and plus 142. Nice little spot for FanDuel and Sanez.
Well, and he's also got another plus money play that we will reveal momentarily because he's going back to pitcher props. But when it comes to that White Sox game, it's not often you look at that. Like, you and I talk a lot about not being run line guys for the most part, but you always say, if you can get plus-plus, meaning plus 1.5 at plus money, you'll jump in. But that normally means plus 1.5, plus 105, plus 110. Yesterday, you could have gotten plus 1.5, plus 170. Plus 170 on plus. How many times do you watch a baseball game and it ends in a one-score game? A billion. That's how many. I don't need to be a research guy to tell you. When you watch baseball, the odds of it being a one-run game seem to be pretty high. If you can get plus 170 on plus 1.5, which is a little tease for something I have cooking later today.
Oh, okay. Well, let's do this because when I woke up, you know, woke up this morning, had our conversation, I'm like, you know what we need to do? Sanez doesn't have to come on and gather his flowers. Like, we don't have to. He doesn't have to take a bow, but we're going to ride the hot hand. So if somebody gives us a plus 285 winner the day before, we're going to text them and say, do you have anything plus money today? And FanDuel's Jim Sanez did respond, and he's got a plus money play for you today, Dustin.
Okay, so let's go with the Milwaukee Brewers. Now, tough matchup, you would think, right? Taking on the Dodgers at home. He says, au contraire, mon frère. Jim Sonnis will go Colin Ray, the starting pitcher for Milwaukee tonight, over 4.5 strikeouts, plus $1.20. He says he has projected at 5.5, and this plays right into three up, three down, where Colin Ray over his last four starts, sub 2 ERA, 30 strikeouts in 23 innings. Colin Ray over 4.5 Ks. That's the bet from our guy Sonnis, and I like the cut of his jib.
I bet you do, big guy. And we can throw up the three up. Why not? Let's continue the theme. Now, he's got his model showing a full strikeout on the K prop, more than the 4.5, so 5.5 plus 120. Go ahead, Colin Ray, over the 4.5 on the K prop. Now, the three up did include the Milwaukee Brewers starter and Colin Ray. How come?
Because he's been awesome. I mean, the power numbers are there, and he's one of the key pieces in why this Milwaukee team is defying the odds. Not having their best players, trading away Corbin Burns, Woodruff being on the IL all year long, and Colin Ray stepped up as one of their key starters because the guy who went last night, Freddy Peralta, has not been as sharp of late. He's been very average to below average this season. So Colin Ray, part of three up, three down this afternoon.
Yeah, taking on the Dodgers there in Milwaukee. Of course, Stone's been very good for the Dodgers this year, 9-5, 3-7-1. The number, Stone's laying. So this is the importance of having outs, people. So we talk about this, and we'll take a look at a few different books here. So the Dodgers are laying $1.22 at DraftKings. If you go over to FanDuel, my goodness, is this correct? Well, let's see. Parks has got it 118. FanDuel, I'm taking a look at FanDuel. It looks like it's even. FanDuel is at 118 as well. But that's a difference in price. So 122 down to 118. So if you're looking to take with the Brewers, you're going to get a better plus money over at FanDuel as compared. Right now, Westgate has the Dodgers $1.18 plus 108 comeback on Milwaukee. So important there.
Yeah, if I was going to bet a side in this game, I'd look at the Dodgers. They're getting back to full strength. Mookie Betts back in the lineup last night, has two hits, hits a homer for them. And they've got Ohtani Betts 1-2 in the order, which is just a stupid embarrassment of riches. And Gavin Stone, as you just pointed out with his stats, he's been really solid for them. Wasn't as quite hyped up as some of the other big prospects for them, but he's been really good. I would look to the Dodgers on the road at that price.
I would say this about Mookie Betts. He might be a little spooked. So you might Do you know what I'm about to say?
Yes. And I agree with him 100%.
What city was it in?
It's Milwaukee. No, it's right now, this current road trip.
Oh, yeah. So check this out. So the Dodgers are going on a road trip, and they're headed to Milwaukee. And so the people that plan the trip, you know, it's not an easy job trying to pull everything together. A big team, big travel party. So you got to find accommodations. So who's ever putting together the accommodations for the Dodgers, like, there's a sick hotel in Milwaukee. We're staying there. Mookie Betts gets on the Google machine and Googles the hotel, and he says, have fun. I'm not staying at that motel.
Yeah.
Or hotel. Motel?
Hotel. The Pfister.
Holiday Inn. So, yeah, you know, Dave Roberts turns to one of the all-time greats, is like, Mookie, why aren't you coming with us to the hotel? Let's grab a cocktail at the bar. He said, you have fun with that. Why aren't you coming? Because there's ghosts. It's haunted. Mookie Betts didn't stay at the team hotel because it's haunted. True story. Look it up, kids.
So, yeah, here's a few details. It's the Pfister Hotel, not Doug Pfister, former pitcher. Not that, Patrick. Get your head out of the gutter.
I wasn't going
to downtown Milwaukee, built in 1893. Other players in the majors have claimed that they've experienced ghost encounters there. Betts has stayed there before, never experienced anything, but said he couldn't sleep because every noise I'd be like, is that something? Is the exact quote. So, look, I have a question. This is a weird one. If you had someone from your life pass on, would you want them to return to you as a ghost if they could do so?
What?
Like, would you want to talk to someone that was a ghost?
Yeah, I'll play your game. Sure.
No, I'm curious. I don't.
Now what?
I don't. I'm terrified. It freaks me out.
What? Casper's going to float in, and I'm going to go 0-for-4?
Well, if they can
what are you talking about?
Because if they can...
Dude, true or false, I wrote out an earthquake while doing a live broadcast yesterday.
That's true.
How can I be afraid of something I can't see?
I'm not saying fear. Would you want to interact with a ghost?
Again, it's a convoluted question. It's never happened, but sure. You want to break out a Ouija board and finish up the segment?
Well, no, it freaks me out because the thought, if they can pop in and out as they please, what if I'm doing something I don't want them to walk in on?
I'm not telling you how to host, but an easier way of just kind of concluding that would have been like, do you believe in ghosts? Instead, you said, let me ask you a question. Weird one. If somebody came back from the dead and they took you to Applebee's, would you want to break bread? Like, what are you talking about?
First of all, Chili's is having a come up, not Applebee's. Secondly, ghosts are real. Whether or not they want to interact with you is up to them and their own devices. They don't want to freak people out. You have to be willing to accept the ghost. That's why I was asking, would you accept the advances of a ghost to have the conversation and be a part of this world in the supernatural?
Shout to Rick Moranis. I've seen Ghostbusters. Of course I know ghosts are real. The point is, they don't scare me. Because when's the last time something went down at your crib? All you do is turn a little light on, right? You got
all
your little light next to your bed. There's no chance you sleep in the dark. You're afraid of your own shadow, and that is a big-ass shadow.
Oh, I sleep with my door open and the living room light wide on.
Well, that'll fix it, because a ghost just can't go under the crack. They're pliable. Mookie, pull yourself together. You got to win a championship here. Brandon Marcello in college football next.